We will have the latest in state political news, as we always do during our state capitol report each week at this time, including today the ACLU's attempt to get the U.S. Supreme Court to halt Wisconsin's voter ID law, the latest developments in the race for governor, and we will welcome your questions and reactions for our state government reporter, Sean Johnson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October 6th. You can join in when we talk about state politics at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Before we get to the latest political news, we just heard in state news, we received some very, very sad news yesterday. Our friend and our colleague, Mike Simonson, who reported from our Superior Bureau, KUWS in Superior, for the past 25 years, passed away yesterday. We are all shocked and saddened, and we will miss him greatly. Mike has been on this show numerous times talking about issues that are important to people who live in northern Wisconsin. What a great loss to Wisconsin, Sean, and to Wisconsin Public Radio. I know Mike was an outstanding reporter. There's no doubt about that. But he was also a colleague and a friend.
We loved Mike, and you know, there are certain people that where journalism is just, for one reason or another, it's a great fit. And for Mike, it was a great fit because, really, I think I never heard a whiff of complaint from him. He never said, "Boy, I've done this story a million times, and yeah, I guess I'll kind of phone it in here." I mean, every story Mike approached, it's just curious. He had a story to tell. And then he'd tell it, and he would ask you, "Hey, did you hear my story?" Or he'd send you a copy, you know. So there was a pride in his work, and the same thing applied to the area that he covered too. And you know, he had me come up there to cover something related to the mining bill a couple years ago, and it wasn't just, you know, go up here, do your job, go home. It was, you have to drive through this section of woods during daylight. It's gorgeous, and you have to stop at this supper club on the way home. You know,
was it dreamland?
He loved it. He loved it. He loved his job. He loved the area he covered, and will be greatly missed.
He will be greatly missed. I was news director in 1990 when we hired Mike Simonson, and boy, I was his supervisor. He taught me so much, and he certainly will be missed by all of Wisconsin, but. You know, as they say, funeral arrangements are pending, and I'm sure that we will post more about that in the days to come. Well, we think that Mike would be the first to say the news must go on, so the news must go on. Let's talk about some of the big state political news from last week, Sean. The ACLU has asked the U.S. Supreme Court to halt Wisconsin's voter ID law. What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a decent chance that we're going to hear from the U.S. Supreme Court one way or another, probably in a very brief order if we do, but with pretty good chance we'll hear from them on whether or not they're going to take this request by the ACLU and other plaintiffs challenging Wisconsin's voter ID law. Essentially, plaintiffs are asking the Supreme Court to step in and rehalt voter ID. And their basic case, while of course they think that the law should ultimately be overturned, you know, on its merits, they're basically asking the court to step in because of timing right now, because the law is being implemented, because the appeals court issued its order on September 12th reinstating the law after it had been on hold for more than 2 years. The ACLU is saying that goes against what the Supreme Court has told courts to do. Here's the ACLU of Wisconsin's attorney, Karen Rotker.
There is Supreme Court precedent that you don't change the rules of the game for an election in the middle of the election process and at the last minute, which is exactly what happened here.
And so the Supreme Court has a few cases that have come to it in recent weeks that are very similar to Wisconsin's. I mean, the circumstances might be different, but for example, an Ohio case was just put before the court, and the court was asked to make a similar order, and they did. I mean, it was involving the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and the court stepped in and basically restored what was the status quo. Big difference in that case, I think, is that what the court did in that case essentially allowed for a more restrictive voting law to go into place in Ohio. Here, ACLU and plaintiffs are asking the court to block a more restrictive case. So I don't know if you can read the tea leaves on that or not, but the experts that I've talked to, experts that I've read, have said expect the court to at least issue a brief order and take a vote on whether to grant this relief.
We are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We frequently talk with Sean during our state capitol report every Monday morning at this time. When we come back from break, we'll talk about some high-profile visitors that came to Wisconsin last week to campaign for Governor Walker and for his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke. There'll be another high-profile visitor in Madison tomorrow who is going to be campaigning for challenger Mary Burke. And we'll talk about the ads in the gubernatorial campaign. There's a study that shows Wisconsin's ads for governor are the least positive of any in the entire country. So we'll talk more about that in just a moment. And we will welcome your thoughts, your questions on state political news at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will get back to our state capitol report with Sean Johnson in just a moment, but it is time to ask you for your support for Wisconsin Public Radio. Yes, we are in our fall membership drive, and you know that your support is the foundation of our budget. It's what makes Wisconsin Public Radio your go-to place for state political news and other great programs. If you would like to support Wisconsin Public Radio, go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 right now and make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And we're off to a really good start this morning because last hour we heard from 39 listeners. So thank you very much, everybody, for making that pledge. This hour, our goal is 31 pledges. And you'll want to make that pledge because your gift of any amount automatically enters you in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. So help us meet that goal and get entered in that drawing by making a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On the Ideas Network, you hear diverse points of view from different guests. And listeners also bring their perspectives into the conversation, too. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably have found yourself starting conversations with, yesterday on Wisconsin Public Radio, I heard this or that. Well, it's time to take action, to participate in making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We mentioned the trips a little while ago, and well, if you make a pledge of $5 a month, you can also ask for the WPR logo secure ID tags. So you put one on your phone, one on your keys, and if you lose them, then you'll have a way to get those items back. So it's a worthy little investment there with just $5 a month. And remember, that will also make you eligible for the drawing for one of three Wisconsin Public Radio trips. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Those trips are going to be spectacular. You can choose the Rhine River, you can choose France, or you can choose Alaska. I don't know how I would make the choice, but I know I'm going on the Alaska trip.
So you need a three-headed coin there.
I will be hosting the Alaska trip in June of 2015, and you can choose to go along with me and many other Wisconsin Public Radio listeners and take this spectacular cruise. If you are the lucky winner of the drawing, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, our goal this hour is 31 pledges. Any pledge will make you eligible for that drawing for a WPR trip, and for $5, ask for the WPR logo ID tags as well. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we need to mention, Bill, that you don't have to pledge to participate in the drawing for the trips. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and telephone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. So you can enter by sending a postcard, but I think you'd love to enter by making your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I like to listen to WPR because it informs me, enriches me, and also kind of challenges me. It's just wonderful. I listen the minute I wake up, on the way to work, when the work day is done, in the evening, and we even have the radio on for our pets during the day. I became a sustaining member, first of all, because of the convenience. It helps me be a part of WPR in a significant way because it's ongoing. It's a way to keep the mission going, and my small part, I think, plays a part in that. I'm David from Stevens Point, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you so much, David. If you would like to support Wisconsin Public Radio as a sustaining member, you can make a monthly donation, arrange to make a monthly donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Our goal is 31 pledges this hour. We've got a couple of in already, so we're off to a little bit of a start there. Let's pick it up and let's go for 2 for 2 this morning on reaching goals. That would be great. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. This is our state capitol report, where we talk about issues making news at the state capitol and beyond. And we welcome your questions for Sean, your reactions to the news of the day at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. So, Sean, let's talk about the week in the governor's race. A couple of high-profile visitors campaigning for our gubernatorial candidates last week.
It's almost as if the national parties are interested in what's happening here in our governor's race. First Lady Michelle Obama was in Wisconsin. She campaigned in Milwaukee for Democrat Mary Burke. Here's a little clip of First Lady Obama.
I've met Mary, although she is all the buzz. She is. But let me tell you, from our interaction, I love her. You know, she is smart. She's in this for the right reasons. She cares about people. She doesn't care about politics.
So, it's about the best thing that the First Lady can do is come in to an audience, say, I love her, you know, pay attention.
And she's going to be, Michelle Obama will be in Madison tomorrow, I understand.
She is, yeah. Yes. Again, campaigning for Mary Burke in two Democratic strongholds, really, trying to get the message out for Burke supporters that, look, we have an election here. And, you know, of course, we're not seeing the president on stage with Mary Burke.
Do we think that that's because there's some concern that he may not help?
Well, you know, they don't do as frequent polling on First Lady approval ratings, but just what I looked up last week, her numbers are pretty good. Mm-hmm. And he is his or not right now.
But we also had New Jersey Governor Chris Christie coming to campaign for Governor Walker last week.
Yeah, and here is a little clip of Chris Christie addressing Republican supporters in Hudson.
You know, I've been involved in some elections around the country where our Democratic opponents, they try to act like they're really Republican light. You know, they try to move towards the middle and they try to hide the fact that they're liberals. The wonderful thing about Mary Burke is she's a liberal, you know it. And you know that the policies that Mary Burke will pursue are Jim Doyle's policies.
Hmm. So a little, obviously a different message, but you have First Lady Obama saying Mary Burke, she didn't care about politics. And then Governor Chris Christie, head of the Republican Governors Association, just a massive GOP fundraising operation, chiming in and saying, you know Mary Burke, she's a liberal because she worked for Jim Doyle, trying to tell people, look, she is politics. She's the same old politics. So very different media markets chosen there. And hugely different messages.
Well, let's talk some about the latest Marquette poll, which has been showing this race neck and neck for the past many months. But in this latest poll, Governor Walker now has a slight lead outside the margin of error.
Yeah, and I think people have probably heard the numbers by now from the Marquette poll. Scott Walker up 50 to 45 among likely voters, 46 to 45 among registered voters. The Marquette polls had really, really good accuracy since it's been around. It's hit it pretty close in some of our big races. The sample here definitely skewed more Republican than it has in polls past. So, you know, whether that continues in the next poll, because they do these things more frequently as Election Day approaches, we'll see. Few other things of note in that poll: the AG's race, Attorney General's race, is really anyone's to win right now. Brad Schimmel was up 41-39 over Susan Happ, or Brad Schimmel, the Republican, over Susan Happ, the Democrat, by just 2 points among likely voters, tied at 39 among registered voters. But you know whether that's relevant, because when 80% of voters don't know either candidate, I don't know. I mean, Obviously, either one of those candidates could step in and win that thing at this point.
Let's talk a little bit, given our time, mm-hmm. about this study that shows that Wisconsin's ads for governor are the most negative in the nation. What's with this?
Yeah. I don't know if we need to split this hair or not, but they say they're the least positive.
Oh, least positive.
Yeah,
and I'll
tell you why. I mean, they measured ads three ways, basically. They have positive ads and they have contrast ads where, you know, it might be go on and say for 20 seconds, say nice things about yourself, and then 10 seconds, say nice, not so nice things about the other candidate. And then they have strictly negative ads. So strictly negative ads, we had about 62% or so of those. And then contrast ads in the mid-30s, only, you know, less, fewer than 4% of our ads in this governor's race have been positive. And there's no other campaign in the country that hit that low in the 2 weeks in September that the Wesleyan Media Project measured this. Wesleyan Media Project co-director Erica Franklin Fowler says, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise that you're seeing ads this negative in Wisconsin, and there's a reason the campaigns do it.
I know citizens don't like it, but if you think about the pure positive spots, they often include a lot of flags, a lot of puppies, and a lot of families, which don't give you the sort of substantive information that you would need to distinguish candidates on the important policy issues.
And negative ads can also drive down turnout, but Fowler says that it depends on when you hear them. You know, if you haven't been paying attention to the race, she says they provoke feelings of anxiety, and that anxiety can get you to pay attention and choose a candidate. If you choose a candidate, though, and you're later in the cycle and you hear something negative about them in a race, then they can make you less likely to vote, she says. So, you can plan on many more negative ads in the next month, I'm sure.
Well, I saw an ad for Governor Walker just yesterday, I think, that featured a domestic violence victim saying that she trusted Governor Walker. So that's that was new.
He's obviously trying to reach out to women. And you look at the Marquette poll, for example, of why. I mean, Mary Burke has, according to the Marquette poll, a 54-40% advantage over Scott Walker with women. The other side of that is that he has a huge advantage with men, 62-34%. But Governor Walker is looking for places that he can move the numbers. He's making an appeal to female voters.
I know that there have been a number of ads hitting criticizing Mary Burke regarding plagiarism. In just 30 seconds, Sean, the Burke campaign has responded.
She has an ad where she looks in the camera and says, "Of course, I'm taking ideas from other states. I want the best ideas, and what we're doing here is not working."
Sean Johnson is our guest. Sean is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We are talking about the latest developments in the race for governor and other state political news. And we will continue after we check the latest news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Would you like to join in? 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll get back to our conversation with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson in just a few minutes. We're going to have some updates on voter ID, same-sex marriage, and we will also talk about some of the latest controversies in the race for governor. But first, Bill Martens joins me because this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Pledge Drive, and we count on you to help pay for these discussions. Your gift of any amount makes this program possible. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Joy, we're looking for 22 more pledges by 8 o'clock, and we've got a great reason for you to become a member this hour. Give any amount, and you're entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. That's right. You'd get to choose to cruise along the Rhine River in Europe or sample the French lifestyle or travel with Joy to Alaska.
If you have already given, thank you very, very much. But if you have not, the time is now, and you will automatically be entered to win two tickets on one of these WPR trips. You get to choose. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know what happens in the rest of the world, and of course here in Wisconsin, matters to us, and that's why WPR is so important. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over the place.
We get the news from around the world and from around our own backyard because you value being an informed citizen. Make a pledge to this station that keeps you connected and keeps you up to date on the issues that affect you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about making a gift of $1,200. Listener support is crucial to WPR's future. If you'd like to do more than you've done before, consider a 9XM Leadership Circle contribution of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge of any amount is appreciated, and I have a feeling we might have received one of those 9XM Leadership Circle pledges during this hour because our pledge total is impressive. You enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial-free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding are important.
But the single largest piece of the budget pie comes from you. Your support makes a difference. It's the backbone of our funding, really. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bonjour, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, encouraging you to join me on a trip to France. Make a pledge of any amount during this membership drive, and you'll be entered to win a trip for two. If you win, you'll have three trips to choose from. But of course, I hope you'll choose France. We'll tour Paris, Normandy, and Brittany in May. We'll sample wine, cheese, and pastries, and we'll walk through beautiful villages steeped in history. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contribution is necessary to win. Find the details and the fine print at WPR.org/drawing. Or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bonne chance et à bientôt.
I think she was saying pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Judith. Yes, Judith Sears-Poissant is hosting the trip to France. Peter Bryant from the NPR News and Classical Music Network is hosting the trip on the Rhine River, and I am hosting the trip to Alaska. It's going to be a hard choice, but again, any pledge is entered into that drawing if you make a pledge during this drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 19 more pledges in the next 20 minutes or so to reach that goal of 31 for this hour. And not only will a pledge of any amount make you eligible for that drawing, but a pledge of $5 a month will you can ask for the WPR Secure Logo ID tags. And you put one on your keys or on your phone, and if you lose one of those things, then that tag can help you get those back. So that's $5 a month. You can make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yes, you didn't know you wanted these, but you want these. Yeah. You also want to support Wisconsin Public Radio because you understand how important listener support is to bringing you the programming that you value. So do make your pledge now to support shows like the State Capitol Report. And make that pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about the latest happenings at the state capitol and in state politics. If you'd like to join, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. We started off the State Capitol Report mentioning that the ACLU and others are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to halt Wisconsin's voter ID law. I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens there, Sean. But there is some behind-the-scenes action in terms of trying to get voter ID implemented smoothly in Wisconsin?
Yeah, the Government Accountability Board had asked the legislature, specifically the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, for about $460,000 to run a TV ad campaign to let people know about voter ID. They've had the ads cut. They're already airing as public service announcements, though those might air at 2 a.m. You never know exactly where they're going to hit. So they wanted to run an ad campaign, hit these targeted time slots, and get the word out there. The legislature, the Joint Finance Committee, was scheduled to meet this week to take up whether or not to give Government Accountability Board that money. They canceled that part of the meeting late last week.
What does that mean?
Talking to Government Accountability Board spokesman Reed Magny, he said they got a letter late Friday from the co-chairs of finance telling them to go ahead and spend the money and to submit for reimbursement for actual costs afterward. So it sounds like the drama has been taken out of that decision, although it happened late Friday, and so I don't know if there's some sort of hidden concern there, whether or not the GAB has enough money in its general account to handle that or what. I did see Scott Fitzgerald, the Senate's majority leader, quoted in the State Journal saying that his caucus was divided on whether to give the GAB that money. So
interesting. Well, I'm sure you'll follow up on that. And speaking of the U.S. Supreme Court, we heard Nina Totenberg on NPR talking about Supreme Court stuff. Wisconsin's same-sex marriage ban could be involved here.
It could be. And the court has in front of it cases challenging gay marriage bans in several states. And in the cases that are before it, appeals courts have struck down these gay marriage bans. And so it's really up to the court to decide whether to take these up, when to take these up. It could be that the court is waiting for another likely decision out of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, where it's speculated that the court there may uphold some of these bans. That covers four states, I believe. And so they have four cases there. That would give the court kind of a variety of opinions to work with as they deal with this huge topic.
You know, Sean, before news time, we talked some about this study that showed Wisconsin's ads for governor are the least positive of any in the U.S., and we talked briefly about Governor Walker running an ad now featuring a domestic violence victim, a woman who looks into the camera and says he cares about women. And we talked somehow maybe Governor Walker is trying to close the gender gap where more women support Mary Burke than support Governor Walker. And we do have a caller who wants to talk a little bit about that ad in particular. Don in Manitowoc, go ahead. Don, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. I find it interesting that the governor is reaching out to women in this way when in February 2012 he signed the repeal of the Equal Pay Enforcement Act of 2009. The 2009 law gave access to state courts to raise pay issues for women, those who are aging, disabled, and other groups. Although federal law covered these issues, it is 4 to 5 times more costly to take these issues to federal court, and therefore people don't do it. The 2009 law gave an avenue for out-of-court settlements in order to hasten these settlements. The 2009 law made it possible for Wisconsin to move from 36th to 24th in gender earnings parity in the United States.
Yeah, and Donna, because we are so short on time, he finds it ironic that that there is a woman who is supporting Governor Walker when he says this repeal of this equal pay for equal work law hurt women. That's actually related to another controversy that came up last week. Sean, isn't it not that the involving Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce?
Yeah, this is something at a press conference at the Capitol, several Democratic women, this is organized by One Wisconsin Now, the liberal group, held a press conference to highlight a brochure on Wisconsin Manufacturer and Commerce website. The brochure has silhouettes of a bunch of protesters are holding various signs with message on them. You know, for example, one of them says no mining ever. One of them says a living wage for everyone. One of them says pay equity now. And at the top of this brochure, it says anti-business voices are loud and clear. So at this press conference, One Wisconsin Now's Jenny Dye was among those who said they were shocked to see that brochure.
I struggle to understand what is anti-business about thinking that the women in our country and in our state who work for our great state businesses deserve equal pay.
WMC Scott Manley was actually at the press conference and talked to reporters afterward. He said that he thought that businesses would know that that graphic was talking about the law that that our caller mentioned there just a little while ago, that law specifically repealed something that Democrats passed that gave people the right to sue for gender discrimination, sue for punitive damages in gender discrimination cases in state court. Here's WMC's Scott Manley.
Well, I think the message that was attempted to convey is that there are a lot of well-funded groups like trial lawyers and labor unions that are trying to undo the progress that we're seeing in Wisconsin.
But what Jenny Dye said to that was that you don't make any distinctions of that kind in your ad. All you do in that graphic is use the words anti-business voices and pay equity now. So a number of media did stories about this. WMC took the graphic down the next day.
There we go. Let's talk about this conservative think tank that has an idea here to swap sales and income taxes.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute commissioned a study to look at what would be the right mix of taxes, in its words. And so the idea that it ultimately settled on was not cutting income taxes and making up for it with a huge sales tax bump on existing products. They wanted to broaden the base of sales tax products. So they wanted to apply the sales tax to a couple dozen products that are not taxed right now. The gentleman who did the research was Paul Bachman of the Free Market Beacon Hill Institute, and he stressed that we're not talking about a tax cut. We're talking about reconfiguring taxes.
We're not talking about, in these tax swap scenarios, we're not talking about cutting taxes. We're talking about making all the government accounts whole. We're talking about being revenue neutral in the first year. But you can actually get a stimulus out of changing your tax mix without really causing any pain to the government sector, if you would.
So, you know, before your eyes glaze over, I mean, this, if this were to come up, this is a debate that would definitely get people's attention because they're talking about, for example, applying the sales tax to food. John Peacock with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families said that this would end up hurting most of us.
The plan will be a boon to relatively wealthy Wisconsinites, but is likely to raise taxes for most of the rest of us.
And some kind of a tax swap is something that the governor kind of flirted with late last year, early this year. Have not heard him talk about that on the campaign, and there hasn't been significant interest in the legislature to pursue that if it includes some kind of a sales tax bump.
There were some developments with surrounding the John Doe 2 investigation last week.
I'd say developments in that comments, more or less, from Eric O'Keefe, the treasurer director of the Wisconsin Club for Growth. That's one of the groups that's under investigation in this. That's the group that sued in federal court to halt it there, although that case has since been dismissed by an appeals court. Eric O'Keefe was on the radio, and he was talking about some of the raids of people's homes, in his words, and said, quote, "I have read some about rape and talked to people about rape, and I'm saying this very deliberately. The reaction that I got from the people I interviewed were similar to a rape victim," talking about people who had been investigated. This was this quote was posed to the Walker and the Burke campaign for action. Obviously, Mary Burke's campaign, very strong words for it. Scott Walker's, though, as well. Campaign put out a statement saying, quote, "Eric O'Keefe, who has no ties to the campaign, deserves nothing less than outright condemnation for his egregiously offensive remarks." Mm-hmm. So, and what remarks they were, you know, those were hard to miss.
Well, what do you know you're covering this week, Sean?
Well, we know that Michelle Obama will be in town tomorrow. I would expect we're going to hear something on voter ID from the U.S. Supreme Court, something very brief, perhaps. It would be just an order with a vote if we do hear something. And then we'll see what's going on with this money for voter ID with the Government Accountability Board.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio, state government reporter. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine.